He's away. I'm fine, don't worry. Oh, what? Can I move out? No, it's all right. Not a problem. Then I can see everybody. Oh, yes. Easier for you to throw bits at me, isn't it? Well, that's as far down as it goes. Okay. Right, well, thanks, Eric. This is my last sermon, and my last sermon at SVC anyway. And so I'd like to think back as well. It was September 2007 that we began to think about something. Can't call it SVC because at that time it was an embryo. And then we talked to the PCC and to the leadership. And in July 2008, we set apart a small group. And we decided that this was the right place and the right venue, the right time. And so SVC was begun. And I would like to thank, first of all, I know it's difficult to mention names, but I'm going to, and those that I don't mention, then please do forgive me. But I want to thank especially Darren and Steph, and Eric and Jackie, and Phil and Barbara for being there right from the beginning. So let's give them a clap. Fantastic. And still managing to be here as well, that's even better. Also, I'd like to thank all those who have been in leadership from then on and those who are in leadership now, because I know it's changed over the years. And particularly here, I'd like to thank Trevor and Phil Johnson for their work and their leadership. Let's give them a thank you as well. And I'd like to thank and it's not directly to do with church, but nevertheless, it's vital, I think, for the work here at SVC. I'd like to thank all those involved in CAP, because CAP is an important part of SVC, not just in the worship and fellowship, but in the evangelism, in the Christian caring and supporting and helping. And I think that's wonderful as well. So I want to thank especially Andy and Helen Bolton. Are they around somewhere? I know they were. Oh, they're in there. And Laura. So I'm sorry if I've missed anybody. But I also want to thank you all, for making this a true fellowship of care and support. And thanks to the band and all that they do. So give yourselves a good clap. A fellowship together, I think that's fantastic. And I don't know who chose the music this afternoon, but it fitted really well with what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit chose it. Yeah, well, that's fine. I'm all for that. I suppose if I was to sum it up, it would be the last song that we sang. I Stand Amazed. How wonderful. How marvellous. If I'm right in saying, you've just finished a series in Habakkuk, I think, and about to begin one in Peter. So I thought that I would begin by thinking about how Peter became a Christian. If you like, sometimes the word is testimony. And so what would Peter's testimony have been? So let me first of all tell you my testimony. And it does fit with what we've heard already this afternoon. I became a Christian on Easter Day, and it's interesting that I'm going to retire on Easter Day as well. On Easter Day, I think it was Easter Day, certainly Easter weekend, in 1970. So I've been a Christian for 46 years. I'm going to tell you how I became a Christian. This is a secret, so don't tell anybody, please. Okay. I was going out with this girlfriend, and she said to me, "How do you fancy coming away for a weekend?" Well, I mean, I'm a red-blooded lad. in my teens. Am I going to say no? Will you come away for a weekend with me? Well, I'll think about getaway. I'm in. Count me in. And she said, you know, they're all Christians there. I said, oh, that's okay. I can cope with that. I'm a Christian. I've been to church a few times. And we went to a place called Cape and Ray for a weekend over Easter. And it was there that for the first time I heard, I'm not saying it hadn't been said before, but it was the first time I really heard that Jesus died on a cross for me. Not for everybody else, not for the world, but for me. So that I could have a new life with Jesus. And I could walk with him every day. And I could talk to him like a friend. I'd never known that before, never heard of it before. And that day, I received Jesus as a friend and a saviour. And in the afternoon, the first thing I did was tell my girlfriend, Mary she was called, told her, burst into tears, shreds of tears. I'm going, what's going on? She said, now you've become a Christian, you won't want anything to do with me because I'm not a Christian, you know. I'm going, what? Because I knew nothing, absolutely nothing. I mean, she was more right. She knew a lot more than I did. But that time changed my life. And I've not looked back. If you'd have said to me in 1969, you will have been in the church for 40 years as a minister, I would have said, you've got to be joking. Because I was working at ICI, I was in research, I was off to university, I was going to get a chemistry degree, come back to ICI and have a really good job with lots of money. It would have been great. My mother thought that I would throw my life away when I said I was going to go into the church. So, let's look at Peter's testimony. So, and I think it sort of fits to some extent with mine. There are lots of parallels, though I don't think he was going out with a girl at the time. So perhaps I ought to read the passage. If you've got a Bible, that's fine. If you haven't, it doesn't matter. This is right at the beginning of John's Gospel. I know that many of your other passages will be from the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, but this is from John's Gospel, the last one of the four. John doesn't tell us an enormous amount, but he tells us it in detail. And this is how Peter first comes to hear about Jesus. It's John chapter 1, and I'm beginning at verse 35. Now, my Bible is a bit odd, because it's one of those sort of really literal things. So it doesn't read that well, so you'll have to forgive me if I stumble over things. It's verses 35 to 42. Again, the next day, John, that's John the Baptist, was standing, and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. They came therefore and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, that's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ, anointed one. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which translated means Peter. Here ends the reading. So what do we find from that passage? Notice it starts not with Jesus, but with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, and he started preaching, and Jesus followed after John the Baptist. That is to say, he started preaching afterwards. John the Baptist knew that he was not the Messiah, not the person that was going to really save Israel, but he was just going to bring people to think about it. And lots of people did come to John for that reason. And there were lots of people that were coming and following him. Now, Jesus came and was baptized by John. John saw him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And two of the people that were following John said to themselves, "What's going on here? Let's go and follow and talk." And it was Andrew and probably Philip. So they followed Jesus, and by that mean, I don't mean they just trailed him, they walked behind him, but they listened to him, they talked to him, they, to some extent, they became followers. And the question that he asked them, and the question I would ask you, is, what do you seek? And if I was thinking, when I became a Christian, I thought to myself, there's got to be more to life than this. I'd been at ICI for 3 years. I could see my way forward. I could think myself to uni and back. And I'd seen friends who were at ICI and what they were doing in the 20s and 30s. And I could see it all planned out before me. And I thought, there's got to be more to life than this. What do you seek? I know some people who seek a house. And once they've got the house, that becomes the centre of their life. Others seek children. And I've seen ladies particularly be desperate for children. And then they find that they have children, or not. But then when they've got children, what happens if one of them dies? They're bereft, because their whole life is centred around the children. Others seek security, particularly those that have not had a secure upbringing. Others seek identity. What am I really about? Am I this or am I that? Or do I just keep putting masks on wherever I go? What do you seek? You see, it's a searching question. It's a question for searchers, but it's also a deep question that we all need to ask ourselves. So, their reply was, where are you staying? They went with him. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and remember, we're in the Middle East, so by 8 o'clock it's absolutely pitch black. They're probably talking until midnight, maybe with a candle, more likely one small oil-filled lamp that gave a little light. So in other words, they were talking more than looking at one another, listening, maybe staying overnight. And this was a new start for them. They'd found what they were looking for. They were starting over. I know it's a bit of an Americanism, forgive me, but that's, I think it's a good way to put it. They started over. The past was put behind and they had a new start, a new journey ahead. And I suppose my question to you would be, have you started over with Jesus? Or are you still listening? Or are you still searching? Well, by the next day, they were convinced. And Andrew went to find his brother, Simon, Peter. They were fishermen who worked together in Lake Galilee. He had someone close who needed to know the good news. It was natural for him to tell him. Who do you have that's close that needs to know the good news? Mary, ask me. She wasn't a Christian, but she knew that it was important. And she said to me, why don't you come along? When I became a Christian, I told everybody. I told my dad. I love my dad to bits. And I told my dad every day. Made no difference. Not while I was bashing him about the head with it, but when I calmed down, when I actually started to pray for him, when I stepped back, then he became a Christian and was confirmed in the church when he was 70. And by the time he died at 82, he was regularly at church. Is there someone that you know who needs to hear? Andrew thought that his brother did, so he brought him to Jesus, verse 42. He didn't just talk to his brother, but he brought him, showing as well as telling. Mary brought me. So what did they find? What changed their lives? What changed mine? And what has changed people's lives here already? What has changed people's lives over the last 2,000 years? You know, I like to say, the clue is in the name. Okay. So what's the names that we've got here? First of all, Jesus. Everybody knew it was Jesus. It was actually a reasonably common name in those days. But what does it mean? It means Saviour or God saves. Now, they were looking for a saviour because they were actually under Roman occupation. So they were saying to themselves, we need somebody to get us out from under Rome. But God knew, and we know, that there's something much deeper than the problems with Rome. Rome has now gone, as it used to be, but the problems still remain. Because they are part of us. Our sin, our self-centeredness, our selfishness. And God understood that. And so he sent a saviour, not for Rome, but for us. So he was Jesus the saviour. But also, if you look in verse 41, he was the Messiah or Christ. The Messiah is the Hebrew word. Christ is the Greek word, and it means anointed one. Now, they used to anoint priests and kings and prophets. So he was someone who was coming as Saviour, who was anointed as a priest, as a king, as a prophet. A specific job for God. But it's more than that. And I wonder whether it was this phrase that John said that really piqued their interest. Because John saw Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Well, I mean, we've been up to the lakes, so we've seen lambs. They're about yay high and they jump about a lot. And they tend to follow the mum, and that's about it. But that's not what people would have thought about when John said, behold the Lamb of God. Because in the Old Testament, a lamb was an important part of the sacrificial system. You sacrificed a lamb to deal with the sin that you had. So the lamb took your sin upon itself. And you could go free because the sacrifice was paid. Your sin was dealt with, the wrath of God was dealt with, and you could be free of it. And now Jesus is to be the Lamb of God. He is to be the one upon whom your sin and mine are placed. the one who takes the wrath of God for you and for me. He is our sacrifice for sin. He is our anointed priest and king and prophet. He is our Saviour. So much so that Simon came away with a completely new identity. Did you notice? When Jesus talked to him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John, Simon bar Jonah," as it says in some of the translations. "You will be called Cephas," not Cephas. I used to have some painkillers called Cephas. Cephas and Peter both mean rock. So basically, he's going to be Rocky. Rocky one, if you like. Okay. The first ever Rocky. He had a new name and a new identity. A new start. That was true for me. My life completely changed. I didn't know it until it worked itself out. But my life completely changed at that Easter in 1970. Peter's life completely changed when he met Jesus. So my question is, has your life completely changed? Has your life become new? Turned upside down? Found a new direction? A new identity? Not in yourself, but in God. So that you're not looking for other things that will fill that gap in your life. You don't need to, because God fills that gap. Jesus can be your friend and your saviour, as he is with mine and with me. So what would Peter's testimony have been? It would have been something like this. Well, I was a fisherman, hard bitten, and my brother, who I really got along with quite well because we worked together on a regular basis, he reckoned that he'd met this guy called Jesus, who he thought was the Messiah. So he brought me to him and I started to talk to him, and suddenly I realised that I needed something in my life. Suddenly I realised that he was a man who could change lives. And he said to me, "I'm not just going to change your life, I'm going to change your name as well." And so he gave me a new name. He called me Rocky. Because even though I didn't think I was, he was going to make me a rock. And particularly, he was going to make what I said the rock on which the whole church was built. That would be his testimony. What would yours be? Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who gives us new starts. We thank you that you gave Peter that new start, and you didn't give up on him, and as we'll see in the weeks ahead, the ups and downs that he had, but we thank you that you made him over the years a real rock, and that testimony that he gave would be the foundation of the church. We thank you that you have changed people's lives over the thousands of years, those who have then gone out to do good to others, to create hospitals, to change lives, to care for those in need, those who have begun churches, those who have helped those poor and underprivileged. And we ask, Lord, that you would show us your Son, Jesus. that our lives might be filled with his life, that we too might have a new name and a new identity in him. And Lord, I want to thank you for the time that you made yourself known to me and the year we have walked together through it. In Jesus' name, amen.